Hello, my name is Kuda. I'm one of the teachers at Sittingbourne Baptist Church and also one of the deacons. Today I'm going to be talking to you on the broadcast for Sunday the 29th of March. And if you have listened to the previous broadcast, you'll remember there was a memory verse that we were trying to remember for Mother's Day. And I wonder whether you remember which book it's from. It was from Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. And can you say it with me? Do you remember it enough? It says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you will live a long life in the land the Lord will give you." And that was one of the 10 commandments that we said had a promise. So I hope you remembered it. It's quite a nice little memory verse. Today's session does not have a memory verse, but we are going to be talking about one of our emotions. So you've got 5 to choose from. And remember, this is just for fun, and it might be just a guess because you can't read my mind, but that's okay. It's just for fun. So are we talking about when you feel brave, or are we going to talk about when you feel disappointed? Or are we going to talk about when you feel sad? Or are we going to talk about when you feel happy? And the 5th choice is, are we going to talk about when you feel frightened? So which emotion are we going to talk about today? When you're feeling brave, disappointed, sad, happy, or frightened? Which one do you think it is? Just as a guess. So drum roll. We are going to talk about when you feel sad. When you feel sad. There is an English saying, or, you know, in the English language, that sort of says big boys don't cry. Or that is the general impression people give, that when you reach a certain age, then you shouldn't cry. But you know, that's not really very helpful, because we go through so many emotions through our day, through our week. We have our emotions going up and down, especially at the age that you're at, in your teenagers. Your emotions are so big, they feel overwhelming sometimes. And it's not always easy or possible to keep them down. So the first thing we're going to think about is, what makes people feel sad? What are the things that could cause us to feel sad? So it could be, maybe we have a disagreement with someone. It could be friends, it could be family, parents, siblings. If we disagree with them and we argue, that can make us feel very sad. It could be when things don't seem to be going the way we wanted. That could make us feel sad. If we feel that we're not in control of our lives, or we're not getting the things we want, that can make us feel sad. Even at this time of confinement, when we're not able to go out and about and do our sports or activities, or go to the library or the places we want to go, at the time we want to go to them, that can make us feel sad. It can make us feel really, really sad. So, you know, this is a topic we really need to be talking about at this time. So, and sometimes, you know, if we get hurt, whether that's our emotions being hurt or our physical bodies being hurt, that can make us feel sad. And it can make us so sad that we cry. And crying is a natural response to that emotion of sadness or physical hurt. Crying is something that our bodies do to show us and other people what we're feeling, that things are not good, things are not going well, things are not going right. So I definitely disagree with the idea that big boys don't cry, or big girls don't cry. Everybody has times when they are feeling sad or when they are physically in pain, and sometimes you cry. People are going through lots of different emotions at the moment with the coronavirus, and it might make you sad just thinking about people that might have passed away. This in such large numbers, and there will be families and workplaces. There's so many people that are affected. I think to some degree, all of us might be affected by this in one way or the other. So that out of compassion, you might feel sad. You might feel really down about it. So if someone cries, it doesn't mean that person is weak. In the same way, if someone doesn't cry, it doesn't mean that person doesn't care. But we all show our emotions in different ways. And I just want to try and get rid of the stigma of saying that big boys or big girls don't cry. Everybody has a time when the emotions are so bad, the only way we can express them and get them out of our system is to cry. And it can be very therapeutic to have a good cry. And that's another saying, a good cry. It's because it sort of washes away or gets rid of bad emotions or gets them out in the open where there can be people who can help you to deal with that and help you to get over that emotion. So sometimes we do need to show our emotions. We need to show our feelings. And we could do this in different ways. You know, people might come to you and say that they feel sad. They might not look sad. But if they say they feel sad, you have to take their word for it and say, yes, okay, fine. What can I do to help? You don't have to argue with people because emotions come out in different ways according to our personalities. And we all need to be listened to and taken seriously. We all need to have our feelings considered and taken into account. I think a lot of parents now are realizing or spending more time with their children, and it might be a time when you need to show your emotions to your family in an appropriate way. So if it's sadness that you need to show them, then you need to express that in a way where they can give you the love and comfort you need. There's some people that you might choose not to show certain emotions to certain people, and that can work as well. But you just need to make sure that you have some trusted people who you are absolutely open and honest with, and that you can show your emotions to without feeling that they will think differently of you or love you any less. People should be listened to, and people should accept us and our emotions at those times in the right way. There may be times when we need to keep our emotions in and we need to keep them to ourselves. Like if we are in public and it's not appropriate, then we might need to hide our feelings. But then we must make sure that we deal with the things that make us feel that way and we don't keep them in all the time. We need to express how we feel. It's just part of our human psyche, really, that we feel better if we express our feelings to other people and talk about them. I think it's very important as a talkative person anyway. Sometimes I find it very easy to ask for help. But there are times when I keep my emotions in because maybe I know that that person would not really be able to help me, or they're not going to pray for me, or then, you know, they're not going to use that information in the right way. So then I don't open up to that person, but I try to make sure that I do have a trusted friend that can handle my emotions and know how to help me get through it. So it's okay to feel sad. And sometimes we might feel sad and we don't fully understand why we feel that way. But we must remember that God understands us right deep inside, even places where we can't see. And He is always available to help us with our emotions. And He can turn our feelings around. He can turn sad times around for us so that we have joy. And joy is such an amazing emotion. It is like something that no one can buy for you and no one can take away from you. Joy is being happy regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of the circumstances. Whether you have lots of food or you don't have lots of food, you can still have joy and you can still enjoy your life regardless of what's going on. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it talks about how God deals with Zion, which was His chosen people. And He says that He is going to send a comforter. And in verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So a lot of things in there. It talks about things being turned around completely, turning beauty for ashes. So ashes are something dead and burnt up and really useless. There's very few things you can use ashes for. In some countries, you can use them to fertilize the soil and, you know, to change its acidity. But you can turn that into something beautiful, which is really a big turnaround. The oil of joy for mourning. So when you're mourning, obviously you're very sad and, you know, very, very serious about things. When you're joyful, you're up and bouncing about and skipping down the high street. One of my favorite things to talk about. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So when you're feeling the spirit of heaviness, you feel low and you feel like you can't do things. So you feel that things are too much, emotions are too much maybe, or that you're overwhelmed by things. But God can turn that into a garment of praise, into a time where you can be lifted up and feel light and ready to focus on who and what God is. So when we're feeling sad, we shouldn't just stay in that emotion. We shouldn't just sit in sadness and think that, oh, well, here I am. I'm not going anywhere. We feel so many different things through the week. We can have so many emotions going through our lives. And that's an activity that I would encourage you to do. If you're feeling low or if you think this might be a problem for you, sit down and write down all the emotions that you feel in the week, whether you feel happy or sad or disappointed, some of the emotions that we talked about at the beginning, if you're feeling frightened and things like that, and just write down all the emotions that you feel in 1 week. And then after that, put them in priority of order in terms of what you would like to feel most of the time. So I would think that would be some of the positive ones. You would want to feel happy. You would want to feel loved. You would want to feel brave even. You would want to feel that you can accomplish things. So all of those things, put them in order of priority. And hopefully there won't be too many bad ones that you feel, and put them last. It just can be a way to help you see that you go through so many different emotions, but all of them, you know, they're part of our human psyche, our human being. We just go through different emotions. But one of the preachers that I listened to called Joyce Meyer, she said that our emotions are so fecal. They change so many times. And we can take control of those emotions and we can decide which emotions we want to be the main emotions that we have. Something like joy that cannot be
determined by your circumstances. Something that if you're feeling joyful, you know, even if somebody sort of tries to annoy you or tries to do something that would normally sort of make you feel sad, then if you have joy flowing through your day, you won't be so moved by that person that it will change how you feel. You might sort of just realize that, you know what, this person, oh, you know, they really need prayer, or they really need help somewhere else, not from me, you know. And then you can just brush that person off a little bit and just think, you know what, I'm not going to join your pity party. I'm not going to let you bring my mood down. I'm just going to carry on with my life. And if we look in the Bible, we can see in John chapter 11, verse 1 to 44, which is a lot of verses, okay? And we're not reading all of those. It talks about the time when Lazarus died, and then Jesus comes back from a faraway trip to raise him from the dead. And in that, we see Jesus going through so many different emotions. Right at the beginning of the story, he seems quite indifferent to the fact that Lazarus is ill. They tell him, Lazarus, your very good friend is ill. And Jesus is like, right, okay, that's fine. I've heard the news, but we're going to stay in this place for another few days. And they stay there another few days. And Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. So he has hope. And he says, it's going to be for the glory of God that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. And even though we hear that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he still doesn't seem to be terribly in a hurry, because everyone was expecting that he would be dashing off to go and heal Lazarus, because it was going to take them a few days to get to Bethany, where Lazarus was. But no, he stays another couple of days in that place. And then after a while, he says, right, we'll go to Judea now. And they go off to Judea, where Lazarus is. And when they get there, they hear that Lazarus is dead, that he passed away, and they've already had the funeral. He's in the tomb. And Jesus sort of says, no, he's just sleeping, and I am going to wake him up. So they go to the tomb where Lazarus is, and he's been buried. And they meet Martha, his sister. And, you know, when everybody's weeping, all the people are there trying to comfort the sisters. And then in verse 35, which just for as a quiz thing is the shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35, it says that this is after Jesus has heard that they have actually put Lazarus in the tomb, and that, you know, everything has been done according to tradition. And he said, where have you laid him? And they say, come and see. And then at that stage, Jesus weeps. So here we see Jesus, who was the Son of God, actually showing his emotions. He is not quiet about it. He's not hiding the fact that tears are running down his eyes. And he cries. He's weeping. And he's not embarrassed about it. He doesn't sort of like, you know, this was evident to people that Jesus was weeping. And there were several theories of why people were saying that he was weeping. Some theologians say that he was weeping because, like it says in verse 36, that Jesus loved Lazarus so much that he was crying. But it could be that he was disappointed in, like, people, you know, you've actually laid him out. You didn't trust me to come and raise him up at this time and all of this. But anyway, that's by the by. So there we see that Jesus was weeping. He was openly crying. And he was a big boy, and he was not ashamed of this. He wasn't embarrassed by it. He was just showing the emotion that was appropriate at that time. If we also look, of course, he goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead, and it's a happy ending. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41,
and 42, we see Jesus again weeping over Jerusalem. He sort of looks at the city and he considers that he knows at this stage that the city is going to go through quite a lot of hardship and it's going to be torn down. There are going to be people fighting over Jerusalem. And Jerusalem at this stage and the people in it, they don't realize sort of like the things that they are doing are causing God's anger to turn and for God to turn against the city. And in verse 41, Jesus draws near to Jerusalem and he sees the city and he weeps over it. And he says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in. And he goes on for another few verses and he is openly proclaiming these things and he's really annoyed and he's showing a lot of passion and he's weeping and sort of in distress over Jerusalem and all the bad things that are going to happen because people have turned away from God. And so Jesus here is not hiding his emotions. He's not thinking, oh, I'm in a public place and I can't get too emotional or I can't show how I feel, how distressed I am about Jerusalem and the things that I know because they are not keeping God's laws, that God's judgment is going to be over them. So this is another part that shows that Jesus was so human, he was showing his emotions. So we that are even more human than he was, even though we have, you know, the Spirit of God is in us to help us with things, but we certainly cannot put ourselves to be on the same vein as Jesus. So we, when we have emotions, there's nothing wrong with us showing those emotions. And if it's a time to cry, then we will cry. We should cry. That is the right emotion at that time. And Jesus and God understands all of our feelings, including times of sorrow or times of sadness. Jesus could not and did not hide his feelings and his emotions when he was on earth. And he was not embarrassed by his tears and he didn't try to suppress his emotions. So we should do the same. We should feel that free and comfortable in certain circumstances and with certain people to show those emotions. So we don't have to hide them or pretend they don't exist. Because if we sweep them under the carpet, they're going to explode in our face one day. So we really need to make sure that we're dealing with those things. If we again look in the at the story of Hannah in the Old Testament, Hannah was married to Elkanah and she didn't have a child and she was very sad and very distressed about this. And what did she do? She opened her heart up to the Lord. She didn't waste time going to people because she knew that people were not going to be the ones who would solve her problem. So she didn't bother her husband about it and nag him on and on about her not having a baby. She knew that that power belonged to God. So she went and cried to the Lord and she really asked for his help. And the Bible tells us that when the priest Eli saw her, he thought she was drunk. So imagine how she was expressing her emotions. Imagine how drastically and how dramatic she was being for someone to look at her and think that she was drunk because she was probably crying with tears down her, snot running down her face. She just didn't care. She was going to express the emotions that she needed to show God how distressed she was. And what do we see happen? God heard her and he answered her prayer. God always hears when we cry, and we don't have to cry that exceptionally, but he always hears the desires of our heart. He hears the cries of our heart. And when we go to him openly and ask for things that would make our lives better and take away these emotions, he hears us and he does something about it.
So if you are feeling sad, or you're feeling high emotions of one, it could even be anger, it could be disappointment, it could be anything, because at this time when we are all confined to staying in our homes as much as possible, we are going to rub each other's emotions up. I can just see brothers and sisters out there just having a go and just niggling at each other, and even parents just being fed up with kids. So we're going to have loads of emotions just piling up and piling up. And we do need to deal with them. We do need to express them, but we also need to deal with them. And we can give our feelings to God, our feelings of sadness, our feelings of disappointment, of whatever you're feeling. God is always interested to know what you're feeling, and he can help you to feel better. God can comfort us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. And it's not just worries that he cares about. He cares about every one of your feelings. You might be worried about the coronavirus. You might be worried about getting it, or other people that you love getting it. You might be worried about that. Turn that over to God. You might be sad about not seeing your school friends or not being allowed to go out. You might feel that you're being controlled and things are out of your control. And, you know, that might make you feel very frustrated. Turn that over to God. You might be feeling sad for many, many reasons. I'll be surprised if somebody doesn't hear this, whose relative might even have passed away because of the coronavirus. You might be feeling sad because of that. Then turn that over to God. It might be even exams, that your exams have had to be cancelled and they're going to, you know, make up the results from your mock exams. You might have different feelings about that. Turn that over to God, because God cares for you. So turn all your worries over to him, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, these people were not just mourning quietly that people didn't know. I mean, if someone is crying or they have all these emotions and they don't show it, I wouldn't know to comfort them, right? So there's a time when you need to show these emotions so that people around you can comfort you and they can guide you and they can help you and they can show more understanding and give you whatever you need. So our memory verse for today, apart from the really good ones that have come up, they really have been some, you know, some great ones that can comfort us. There is another one, and this one is not going to be our memory verse because it is rather long. And it talks about how God comforts us. And he does that so that we can comfort others. I am just looking for it now. And I don't think I'm going to find it in time. That's going to take me a while. But, you know, God comforts us for a reason. He comforts us so that we can help other people. Maybe it's that you will be able to share with someone that I went through something like this and I managed to come out of it, so you can come out of it too. So our emotions sometimes and the things that we go through are not just to help us out, but we can use them to show other people and to show them how they can go get through problems and get through difficulties, because they would use the same, they would look at us and think, oh, well, he got over it, so I can get over this difficulty, whatever it can be, it might be. So whenever you're going through things, always think that, especially during this time when we're all so close together, that it could be that God is taking you through that situation so that you can help someone else later in life. Right, so our memory verse is going to be from Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. And this is the one that at the next broadcast I will be asking you about. And it says, because the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, he will lead them to springs of water that give life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's Revelations chapter 7, verse 17. And it's talking about Jesus being the Lamb of God who is at the center of the throne. And he is our shepherd, we know that. But that he would lead us to springs of waters that give life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's showing us God being concerned about us and being concerned about the emotions that we feel. So this person, tears from their eyes could be for various reasons, but they could be from being sad or those high emotions that really bring you down. So those tears, God can wipe those away from us and, you know, and give us good emotions like we read in Isaiah, that he will turn our mourning into dancing. He will turn our mourning. He'll swap us ashes for beauty. He will swap our mourning for joy. That's a really big difference, isn't it? It's a really big contrast. So now as we close, just hoping that things are going well with you and that you're able to cope, that you've got enough schoolwork. Whoever knew that we would want so much schoolwork, and that you do take your time to exercise. Remember that we are allowed to go out once a day, at least for exercise. So do take advantage of that. Do make sure that you're looking after yourself, that you have a good schedule, it's well balanced. But do try to be considerate to everybody around you. If they are showing high emotions, maybe you can step in to help them go through that, and to go through it joyfully, and to go through it without too many tears. But if they do have tears, accept people and accept that they might need to let those emotions out, and crying might be the only way that they can do that. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to say the grace together. So let us pray. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had, that I've had to speak to people out there. Even though I can't see them, I believe that you have this message prepared for someone. And I pray that it gets to them and it helps to change their lives and helps to for them to draw closer to you and to feel stronger in their walk with you, to have more faith and to rely on you more. So, Lord, I just pray that you help them not to feel sad, but help them to feel strong in their belief in you and to have gone through different experiences where they can see your hand working for them and changing things in their lives. And I pray, O Lord, that people that might have very, very good reasons for feeling sad and for crying, that you would provide good support network for them so that they can be loved and just shown that these emotions, we can deal with them, that these emotions can help us to be stronger people. And I pray that the young people grow closer to you and love you more as, you know, as you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to remind you that if you do want to discuss this further or talk about anything that might be troubling you, or if you just want to get in touch, you can do so through the email, which is at youth@sbc-church.org.uk. So it's also going to be in the newsletter that will be sent out very, very soon. So, in closing, let us just say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all who we pray for, now and forever. Amen.